ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैश्चिकी। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 87 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। न घटते उद्भवः प्रकृति पुरुषयोः अजयोर् उभया युजा भवन्ति आशु असुब्रुतो जला बुद्बुदा वा त्वयि ते इमे ततः विविधा नामा गुणैः परमे सरितः इव अर्णवे मधुनि लील्युः अशेष रसाः। न घटता उद्भव प्रकृति पुरुषोय अययोर् उभया युजा भवति असुभृतो जल बुद्बुदावात् त्वयि ते ततो विविध नाम गुणै प्रपरमे सरिता इवर्णवे मधुनि लील्युर् अशेषरसाः। न घटत उद्भवः प्रकृति पुरुषयोरजयोर् उभया युज भवति असुभृतो जल बुद्बुदवत् त्वयि ते इमे ततो विविध नाम गुणै परमे सरित इवार्णवे मधुनि लील्युराशेषरसाः। न घटत उद्भव प्रकृतिर्पुरुषयोरजयोर् उभया युजा भवति असुभृतो जल बुद्बुदावत् त्वयि ते मे ततो विविध नाम गुणै परमे सरितैवार्णवे मधुनि लील्युरशेषरसाः। न घटत उद्भव प्रकृति पुरुषयोर अजयोर भयायुजा भवति अशुभृत जल बुद्बुदावाद् त्वयि मे इतो तत्विदो नाम गुणये परमे त इवार्णवे मधुनी लिल्युरशेषरसाः Matajis. Dada Udbhava Prakriti Purushayor Ajayor. शेषरसाः न घटते डज नॉट हैपन उद्भवः द जनरेशन प्रकृति ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर पुरुषयोः एंड ऑफ द सोल हु इज हर एंजॉयर अजयोः हु आर अनबॉर्न उभया of both yuja by the combination bhavanti come into being asubhrataha living bodies jala on water budbuda bubbles vat like tvahi in you te ime these living beings tataha Therefore, vivida, various, nama, with names, gunaihi, and qualities, parame, in the supreme, saritaha, rivers, eva, as, arnave, within the ocean, madhuni, in honey, lilyuhu, become merged, ashesha, all, rasaha, flavors. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, neither material nature nor the soul who tries to enjoy her are ever born. Yet living bodies come into being when these two combine, just as bubbles form where water meets air. And just as rivers merge into the ocean or the nectar from many different flowers blend into honey, also all these conditioned beings eventually merge back into you, the Supreme, along with their various names and qualities. Purport. Without proper spiritual guidance, one may misunderstand the Vedas' description of the living entities emanating from the Lord to mean that they have come into being in this process and will eventually pass again into non-existence. But if the living entities were to thus have only temporary existence, then when one of them would die, his remaining karma would simply vanish without being used up. And when a soul would be born, he would appear with unaccountable karma. He had done nothing to earn. Furthermore, a living being's liberation would amount to the total eradication of his identity and being. The truth is, however, the soul essence is one with Brahman's, just as small portion of space contained within the walls of a clay pot is one in essence with the all-expanding sky. And like the making and the breaking of a pot, the birth of an individual soul consists of his first becoming covered by a material body and his death or liberation consists of the destruction of his gross and subtle bodies once and for all. Certainly such birth and death take place only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The combination of material nature and her controller that produces the numerous conditioned beings in material creation is likened here to the combination of water and air that produces countless bubbles of foam on the surface of the sea. Just as the efficient cause, air, impels the ingredient cause, water, to form itself into bubbles, so by his glands, Supreme Purusha inspires Prakriti to transform herself into the array of material elements and the innumerable material forms manifest from those elements. Prakriti thus serves as the upadan karan or the ingredient cause of creation. In the ultimate issue, however, since she is also an expansion of the Supreme Lord, it is the Lord alone who is the ingredient cause as well as the efficient cause. This is as stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Tasmad va etasmad atmana akashah sambhutaha. From this, the Supreme Soul, the ether evolved, and so, kamyata bahusyam prajayeya, he desired, let me become many by expanding into progeny. The individual souls, jiva souls, are not created when born from the Supreme Lord and Prakriti, nor are destroyed when they merge back into the form of the Lord, rejoining him in the pleasure pastimes of his eternal kingdom. And in the same way as the infinitesimal jivas can appear to undergo birth and death without any factual change, the Supreme Lord can send forth and withdraw his emanations without himself undergoing any transformation. Thus, the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad affirms, Avinashi Vare Ayam Atma. This Atma is indeed indestructible, a statement that can be applied both to the Supreme Soul and the subordinate Jiva Soul. As explained by Sridhar Swami, the dissolution of the living being's material condition occurs in two ways, partial and complete. Partial dissolution occurs when the soul experiences dreamless sleep when he leaves his body, and when all souls re-enter the body of Mahavishnu at the time of universal annihilation. These different types of dissolution are like the mixing of nectar brought by the bees from different kinds of flowers. The different flavors of nectar represent a dormant individual karmic reactions of each living entity which still exist but cannot easily be distinguished from one another. In contrast, the ultimate dissolution of the soul's material condition is his liberation from samsara, which is like the flowing of the rivers into the ocean. As the waters from the different rivers merge together after entering the ocean and become indistinguishable from one another, so the false material designations of the jivas are given up at the time of liberation, and all the liberated jivas one again become equally situated as the servants of the Supreme Lord. The Upanishads describe these dissolutions as follows. Yatha saumya madhu krito nishtitanti stanti nana ayatmana nana atyayanam vrikshanam rasan samavahan varam ekatvam sangayanti te yatha tatra na vivekam labhante amushyaham vrikshasya raso asmi amushyaham raso asmiti eva khalu saumyah sarvah prajah sati sampadya na vidu sati sampadyamahe. My dear boy, this partial dissolution resembles what happens when the honeybees collect honey by extracting the nectar from the flowers from various kinds of trees and merge it all into single mixture. Just as the mixed nectars cannot distinguish, I am the juice of such and such flower or I am the juice of another flower, so dear boy, when all these living entities merge together, they cannot consciously think, now we are merged together. Chandogya Upanishad. Yatha nadyah syandamanah samudre astam gacchanti naam rupe vihaya tatha vidvan naam rupad vimukta parat param purusham upaiti divyam. As rivers flow to their dissolution in the sea, giving up their names and forms at their destination, so the wise man who becomes free from material names and forms attains the Supreme Absolute, the wonderful personality of God in Mundaka Upanishad. Sridhar Swami says, praise. Yasmin udyad vilayam api yad bhati vishvam layadau jivopetam guru करुणया केवलात्मने केवलात्म अवबोधे अत्यंतांतम व्रजति सहसा सिंधु वद सिंधु मध्ये मध्ये चित्तम त्रिभुवन गुरुम भावये तम नृसिंहम. The Supreme Lord is self-sufficiently omniscient. By His great mercy, this universe, which is subject to repeated creation and destruction, remains present within Him after merging back into Him along with the living entities at the time of cosmic dissolution. This total withdrawal from the universal manifestations occurs suddenly like the flowing of a river into the ocean. In the core of my heart, I meditate upon that master of the three worlds, Lord Narasimha. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातम् सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं विष्णुचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नितिनामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतिशे नमः. पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो पंचबिंदो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोसुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय. वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे. न घटत उद्भव प्रकृति पुरुषयोर अजयोर उभय युज भवति असुभृतो जल बुद्बुदवत त्वयि त इमे ततो विविध नाम गुणे परमे सरित इव अर्णवे मधुनि लिल्युर अशेष रसा. Neither material nature nor the soul who tries to enjoy her are ever born. Yet living bodies come into being when these two combine, just as bubbles form where the water meets the air. And just as rivers merge into the ocean or the nectar from many different flowers blend into honey, so all these conditions beings eventually merge back into you, the Supreme, along with their various names and qualities. The conclusion of the 10th canto is nearing, and the prayers by the personified Vedas are exhorting the Lord's manifested forms and various expressions in the creation. And understanding Krishna with this multifaceted point of view, without neglecting the Siddhanta, gives the proper ammunition for a sadhaka to devise the plan of liberation. Not just for himself, but for the whole, the coming ages. In fact, this is what Krishna indicates here, while Shukdev Goswami is narrating this whole narrative to Parikshit Maharaj. Imagine the kind of perspective what Parikshit Maharaj is listening and what Krishna is telling Arjun. Once in one tape we were hearing to Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about Shukdev Goswami narrating to Parikshit Maharaj about how he should be renounced, how life has so much to offer, but how much we get distracted by the so-called glitter and the comforts and our list of endless necessities. So he's thinking why there is need for a bed and a pillow when there is a beautiful bare ground with and the shelter can be the tree and when your two hands can be the pillows, why do you need all these facilities? So he's talking about living with so much minimum that you have nothing but to appreciate Krishna. There is no distraction. Now imagine such a narrative given by Krishna to Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra would have been completely inappropriate. Though it is the truth, though it is necessary. Yet Krishna is speaking to Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to take weapons in his hand and deal with the anti-dharma elements with a strong reply, with a strong motivation. Why is that? In fact, Prabhupada mentioned that same class that what is suitable for a person fighting his own battles is Krishna's message to Arjun. And therefore we must understand that the four varnas and the four ashrams are simply the facilities for approaching different context of life and the society in general. Life context is determined by the ashrams, and the society context is determined by the varnas. In fact, we had just been to this place where Brahmaji created the four varnas and four ashrams. There is a place in Kurukshetra called Prachi Tirth, or this is called close to the Saraswati Tirth is the place where Brahmaji creates these four varnas and four ashrams. No doubt when Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnya Maya Shrishtam, I was just reflecting on this verse, what Krishna is explaining. He is saying Maya Shrishtam, created by intention. And Brahmaji has created on behalf of Krishna. Why? Because life has many phases and many contexts. Why not only one ashram? Why not only one varna? When actually the goal is to go home back to Godhead and liberation. Why? Because there are many mentalities, there are many karmas, there are many desires. Unless this facility is offered, one will not be able to execute the goal of liberation. And therefore, just like explaining here how the soul and the material nature are ever existing and they just manifest and unmanifest as per the different karmas. Similarly, as the bubbles are formed where the water meets the air. So these explanations simply exhort us to understand the soul is eternal, but the manifestation is temporary. But to use the temporary manifestation for the eternal goal is the wise deal. And therefore, the context of Parikshit Maharaj and context of Arjun are completely different. And therefore we get Bhagavad Gita in one context and we get Bhagavatam in another context. The principles are the same, but the time and the society around that was different. Parikshit had a very settled administration. He had already built up, in fact he had already been gifted and built up upon what Arjun and the five Pandavas gave to Parikshit Maharaj. So he didn't have to create that framework. In fact, while Krishna is about to depart from Hastinapur after giving the peace message, Shanti Sandesh, or that Shanti Prastav, Krishna is, Kunti is requesting Arjun, or is requesting Krishna to give a message to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And she is telling that, Yudhishthir, you should never think about giving up your right. Why? Because this would amount to the Kshatriyas begging for the livelihood, which is against the context of that occupation. So, Yudhishthir should remember one more thing. He should remember that the kings are meant to usher in Satya Yuga by their administration. Not that the age would dictate the condition of the kingdom. If there's a deterioration, it is the king's duty. And she reminds him that anyone who brings Satya Yuga will enjoy excessive heavenly pleasures. Anyone who establishes Treta Yuga, like age, in one's kingdom will get sufficient heavenly pleasures. Anyone who establishes Dwapar, age-like situation in the kingdom will get just heaven. Just reach there. And anyone who does not do anything but just allows Kali, like age, to rule, will go into hell. Now this is not for any Kshatriya only, it is for any person, the context is the war. Right? So anyone like Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, what does a Brahman do? Brahman makes sure the sacrifices and the kind of atmosphere, the vibrations, the knowledge, the learning, the wisdom which is there in the society conforms to that of Satya Yuga. That Brahman will be elevated to the highest situation. Similarly, any Kshatriya who does this will get heavenly pleasures. Any Vaishya who does remove the poverty and brings prosperity, health, wealth, prosperity, equality, gets very high pious credits. And similarly, Shudras, when they assist in this making of the Satya Yuga, or the very appropriate condition. So therefore, all technical and non-technical understandings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to align us to these kind of understandings. And imagine, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is being asked by Yaksha, what is ignorance? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj answers that not knowing one's duty is agyan. Why? Because that duty which is in complete knowledge and complete harmony with your existence and your context brings about spiritual awakening by default. Spiritual awakening is not a merely philosophical exercise. It is aligning your activities, your expressions in line with the tattva. And this is why we need a system of integration of philosophy and practice, where both are not separated by some artificial line. They are harmonized, and that's why the merging of the living entities with Krishna, one does not understand, but the all individuality is retained. Therefore, individuality in variety is harmony. Individuality gives creativity and variety gives opportunity. And when creativity and opportunity are both harmonized, they give you integrity. The integrity means everything is in complete, uniform or total whole. It is not isolated. So here we find in Bhishma's life what Arjun was trying to see. What was the cause of the Bhagavad Gita? What was the vision of Bhishma that Arjun was seeing? He was seeing Bhishma the father. I was not raised by my father, but I was raised by Bhishma like my father. So I am seeing in Bhishma, not Pitamaha, not the guardian of Hastinapur. I am seeing him as my father. How can I do that? So the closest relation which Arjun was connecting with was his own relationship with Bhishma. But Krishna exhorts Arjun to see Bhishma in context. Arjun, after that Bhishma, the father, has progressed, he has become Bhishma, the mute spectator, which allowed the atrocities, like the attempt to kill the Pandavas. The same Bhishma who then later became very partial, that he divided the kingdom into two parts and he deprived you Pandavas of the whole kingdom. The very same Bhishma who allowed the gambling match, and later on the consequences of witnessing the disrobing of Draupadi, being an absolutely by his neutrality supporting Duryodhan. Arjun, which Bhishma are you seeing? Depends upon which Bhishma are you seeing, either you'll be enlightened or you'll be illusioned. Arjun is being told Bhishma's context has changed. Your duty has to be aligned to that new context. Therefore, this understanding is so important that the Gita could have not been understood by Arjun without this understanding. And therefore, when na tu evam jatu nasam, never these kings ever existed. There was never a time when these kings did not exist. And now in the future they will cease to do so. The same philosophy which is explained here in the Bhagavad. There is complete synchronization. But imagine, the individuality of Bhishma was to express his identity. But he failed to do so, resulting in what became the neutrality. Not allowing the creativity of the identity to express and allowing it to remain under the pretext of vows and norms. When times have changed, Bhishma stuck to his so-called false loyalty. Mahabharata is cause of sticking to old and false and redundant laws, loyalties and vows. Karna had his own vow. In fact, that's why Bhishma held to his vow to Hastinapur and not to Dharma. And Karna held to his vow of friendship to Duryodhan and not to siding with the righteous. Therefore, when Krishna goes to Karna, after he gives the peace message, in fact, this is narrated by Sanjay to Dhritarashtra. Sanjay is able to see from there only. In fact, we remember that he was given the vision during the war, but Sanjay is exceptionally qualified to experience the nuances or experience the finer movements of this diplomacy and all these political happenings in the Kuru palace, in the Hastinapur. So therefore he is saying that Krishna visited Karna and he spoke to Karna that you are the eldest son of Kunti, born from Suryadev. So you will get the kingdom and you will be the king. And what does Karna say? Karna says that actually I don't deserve it. Yudhishthir deserves it. Please don't reveal this secret to Yudhishthir. Else he will give up his kingdom to me. I know for sure. And what I will do? I will give it to Duryodhan, which I don't want. And then Karna says, Krishna, Duryodhan has invited you for this sacrifice. He is a Yajaman. The Ritvik Brahman is Krishna. And the offering is the blood of all the warriors. And after the sacrifice is going to be offered, the somras which is going to come is going to be drunk by Bhim, the blood of all these Kauravas. And he said, you perform this yajna, Krishna. And that's how Karna knows it. So Krishna says, why are you doing this? He said, what can I do? I am bound by my loyalty of friendship to Duryodhan. The context destroyed the individuality and the creative thinking of a person. That times and conditions have changed. My friend has not been a friend. My Hastinapur has not been so dharmic what I am trying to fight for. And therefore, Bhishma manages to retain his devotional attitude while being in his confused identity. He fights against Krishna, but with the same devotion. Ultimately, he offers Krishna the opportunity of variety by fighting against him, which we generally express as why Bhishma is Mahajan. He lost his individuality but maintained the at least understanding that okay, I can fight with Krishna, offering the variety of that transcendental rasa of chivalry. And this is what explains the individuality and variety. But amazingly, we'll understand that Bhishma would offer that variety to Krishna only when he had destroyed his identity of individuality being on the side of adharma. A very grey understanding. And therefore, somehow or the other, it's not so easy to analyze the context. And yet, we'll find many such diversities. In fact, we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when he meets the three devotees at Puri, he gives three different instructions. One instruction he gives to Mukunda Sarkar, that you must earn spiritual and material wealth. The second instruction he gives to Raghunandan Thakur, that you should worship the deities. And thirdly, he gives the instruction to Narhari Sarkar to go and assist in spreading the message of Sanatana Dharma. Very unique pastimes, and therefore we find this unique universe, unity in diversity. Nobody was telling each other that you are doing something which I am not doing. And therefore everyone should be doing what I am doing, which is that is important. The six Goswamis were given exclusive task of discovering Vrindavan, compiling literatures, presenting them in a format which would be easily digested by the coming generations, which became the backbone of the parampara. But imagine the scriptures remained, but the proper exhibition of character and behavior was missing. Philosophy without good behavior is useless. And good behavior without philosophy is mere morality. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed one batch of Vaishnavas to go in Vrindavan and to work on that. The second batch of Vaishnavas, he told that now you stay with me and learn how to deal with Vaishnavas and the other people in general. To Nityanand Prabhu, he said, don't come to Puri. Don't come on a regular yatra. We are missing the yatra. But Mahaprabhu also told once to Nityanand Prabhu, no need to come for the yatra. Stay in Bengal and preach, because that is what you can do the best, nicely. This is what you should be doing. And then when he goes traveling to all the various places, he meets the Kurma Brahman. He wants to leave everything and join the Hare Krishna movement with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assisting sannyasi. Great opportunity. But Mahaprabhu declines. Stay at your home. Stane sthita shuti gatam tanuvan manobhir. Stay at your place. Show by your example how you can make your home as a temple. He goes to the South Indian Brahman who is reading the Bhagavad Gita. What is he instructing him? What is he trying to tell through him? Said, even if you are not so technically qualified to understand Bhagavad Gita, grasp the essence of it. Maybe you may not be qualified to write Bhakti Shastri exams. may not be able to score, may not be able to memorize, may not be able to present. But imagine what kind of understanding that South Indian Brahmin had. Seeing, reading the Bhagavad Gita and understanding are completely two different things. He got the message of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is willing to go to so much to tell Arjun, to induce Arjun to fight. What compassion Krishna had for all of us. If he had not spoken to Arjun, we would not be here able to understand this. So out of compassion for all of us, he has spoken Gita to Arjun. And this realization, when someone gets, one will not take the message of Krishna as mere context. Therefore, the same thing, when the Bhagavad Gita ends, Arjun is still disinclined to fight Bhishma. Even after understanding, Karishya Vachanam Tava, does not do it. He tells Krishna, Karishya Vachanam Tava. But in expression, he is not trying to fight Bhishma. He is trying to evade. He is trying to fight Bhishma with very light, is a light combat. Not a very serious, decisive combat. It took 10 days for the Pandava army to even configure what to do with Bhishma. Krishna would make strategies and Arjun will implement them half-heartedly. And then he did it twice. Krishna said, "If because of your half-heartedness, I will give up my vow." Krishna was always ready to change his context. "I have taken a vow, I will not lift the weapon." But Krishna told only at the beginning only, "I may do anything in the war." Making a vow doesn't mean that we are not ready to adapt. If the situation demands, we are ready to surrender to that situation and make appropriate adaptations to face so that the situation can be saved from adharma. And therefore, Krishna immediately changed his context. He never thought about his own identity as being the one who was always keeping his vow. So Krishna broke his vow twice. He took up the weapon. One is he took chakra, the time he took. So it took two times of Krishna to take up weapons to make Arjun realize, "Now, I have to give up my lethargy." What is lethargy? Yaksha is asking. What is laziness? What we heard previously from Yudhishthira Maharaj, that ignorance is not knowing one's duty and lethargy is not acting upon it after knowing. Why Krishna is telling in various shlokas, "Arjun, give up your laziness and fight," because he knows that he is going to understand everything and not going to fight. Krishna knows Arjun more than Arjun knows himself. And therefore, Bhishma is the understanding that what context we are having Bhishmas in inside of us and outside of us. Have we really understood the enemy well? Therefore, observing the armies. Prabhupada mentions in one of the shlokas where all the names of the warriors are mentioned. And Prabhupada is mentioning in all of that, that usually one thinks that Vaishnava is non-violent, peaceful, compassionate. But Prabhupada said when need arises, that Vaishnava also is willing to become violent. And therefore, Prabhupada says, it is not that our sphere of activity is limited to only some few things that we think of. Prabhupada mentions, it includes politics, society and all spheres where Krishna has to be established in dharma. Therefore, clearly mentioned as observing the armies, how Prabhupada is mentioning of all these things. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing by his own example that so many diverse ways of approaching Krishna to make Krishna available to everyone. This is Krishna's broad vision, or this is Krishna's vision. We had the Krishna vision multimedia in centennial, right? Imagine that time that was the first time when I had also just come to the moment, and we're going. August Shanti was one of the venue. August Shanti Maidan. Cross Maidan. We'd find all these things. Imagine that was the awe and the reverence at that time. But now if you told Krishna, vision, come for a multimeter presentation, you would said, I have my smartphone. I can see the same thing. I don't need that. Times have changed. What was your inspiration 20, 25 years ago? The inspiration has changed. But the principle has not become compromised. Approaching Krishna and making others available Krishna. The methods have changed. Therefore, Prabhupada mentioned to one of the senior leaders in ISKCON that in material life, when people see diversity, they have disagreements. But in spiritual life also, when they see diversities and they disagree on them, that is material. Prabhupada said to them, when you come annually to the GVC meeting in Mayapur, please discuss the topic of unity in diversity. This is specific instruction Prabhupada gave to the leaders. This is what you should discuss there. And make sure that there is total agreement in approaching the diversities with a very unified understanding. Unity is not uniformity. Usually we think that unity means uniformity. If everything is uniform, then everything is united. Absolutely. In fact, unity destroys diversity and therefore there is disagreement. And therefore, we find here that there are so many diversities, but without understanding, or if the context is uniformity, or the conference is uniformity too, and loyalty in a particular context, then we get stuck there. Bhishma and Karna and Dronacharya, very well knew. But they remain uniform, rigid, not willing to adapt. Krishna was telling Arjun that you are going the Bhishma way. The Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjun to bring his uniform view of relationships to a very dynamic, practical, spiritual understanding. And therefore Bhagavad Gita is not just a samvad. It is actually a perspective that has to be developed. In fact, when Arjun is again asking, because even after the war is ended, he is asking the Gita to be spoken again. But Krishna said, that Gita will not be spoken again now. That was Gita spoken to you, that was the samvad to you, which I will not remember now. Because what you asked and what you were at that time, you are not that right now. So that time Krishna explains the Anugita, which are collection of 3-4 more samvad. Between a Brahman and his disciple, between a Brahman and his wife, all of this. And therefore when Uttanka Rishi comes, this is how another set of approach, where you become threatened by diversity and its consequences. What happens? You are not willing to accept the result of that. Example are Gandhari, Dhritarashtra and one more devotee called Uttanka Rishi. This Uttanka Rishi was very great devotee of Krishna, but he was very much disturbed. Why did Krishna have this war? If he had stopped it, he could have stopped that war. He's God. He could have done that. Why didn't he stop the war? So he wanted to specifically ask Krishna. So when Krishna and Balaram Subhadra were going to Dwarka, he accosted them. He said, I want the answer for this. In our Sanatan Dharma, even God is accountable. Right? What to speak of the Jivatma? So he's asking. And Krishna is accepting that accountability. Actually, he said that it was inevitable. It had to be done. And therefore, he showed the whole Virat Rup to Uttanka Rishi. The most easiest answer is Virat Rup. If Duryodhan comes, Krishna shows Virat Rup. If Arjun is thinking that, you know, what is going to be the consequence of this war, he shows Virat Rup. To pacify the devotees and to agitate the non-devotees. And he showed that everything was already executed by the will of Krishna. And therefore, Duryodhan, the whole discussion comes later on when Vidur is pacifying Dhritarashtra. He is explaining the same concept, how the birth and death is simply the changing of the bodies. This philosophy goes on, the context changes. So then Vyasdeva comes again and tells Dhritarashtra that, see, Duryodhan was Kali personified. It was his task to get all these people, all the adharmic kings together at one place, so that Krishna can eliminate them. And therefore Krishna waited for such a long time, 13 years, so that everybody is together at one go. This war only one time. So Karna also told Krishna that, Krishna, please, these people are anyways going to die. I am seeing everything. Let them die in Kurukshetra. Why? Because they will get heavens. So Karna had so much buddhi. He had so much understanding. He had so much understanding of right and wrong. Yet, the laziness, the lethargy to apply what we have understood becomes the biggest stumbling block on the path of self-realization. We can see Krishna, but we can't access Him. Like we have all these systems to enter by a fingerprint. But imagine, your fingerprint doesn't work. Because you have put the fingerprint you have put either the wrong thumb or you have placed in the wrong way. Or you are too impatient. And therefore Krishna says that the things have to be applied with a lot of introspection, with a lot of intelligence. And therefore what one can practice is dharma? By good buddhi. Therefore Krishna established in the second chapter, buddhi yoga. The indecision of life has to be first countered with discrimination and intelligence, without giving up action. And therefore, Gandhari, she heard the killing and she saw the remains of her children. She cursed Krishna. She vented her anger on Krishna. Dhritarashtra vented his anger on Bhima. Why? Because they could not accept the entire plan of Krishna. Krishna's plan is broad-minded. When one is caught up in the narrow-minded conception of life without reference to context and filled with one's own attachment, insecurities and fears, then one becomes threatened by the act and the consequence both. So therefore this understanding of how Krishna is applying everything is merging into Krishna. That means we have to understand the totality of what Krishna represents in our life. Abhimanyu and Jatayu, both were not instructed by Krishna or Ram to go and fight that challenge. Both took it on themselves to take it up, knowing the inevitable that they are going to die. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, there is a challenge which is waiting upon us like Chakravyuh or Ravan, and not fighting it and saving oneself will not be dharma, will not be our right stance. Rather, taking up the challenge and be ready to be sacrificed. For what? For making the whole world know that here was a great soldier of Krishna, a great warrior of Ram, who was willing to give up everything for the service of Krishna and Ram. And therefore Abhimanyu and Jatayu are like similar traits. Both knew, both were not instructed, but both were inspired to serve. So sometimes inspiration has to go over instruction. Not that all the time we'll be instructed for 13, 14, 15, 16 years after entering Krishna consciousness, what I have to do? What should I do? That is the question. The question is that, what is my duty? The question is not, how should I do it? The question is first to understand, what am I supposed to do? Parikshit at the time of death is asking that question, and Arjun at the time of fight is asking that question. And Bhishma is only explaining about the duties at the time of his own death to Yudhishthira, who is about to rule. This question about duty is inescapable. And this question should be constantly researched for by one's own inspiration, introspection and intuition. When one receives dadami buddhi yo tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam, when will the Paramatma develop a relationship with us? When we extraneously endeavor, when we take instructions more deeper to the heart and take it as our own individual responsibility. Then Krishna will get the diversity and the variety that he is seeking from us. He is not expecting the same kind of contribution from everybody. And this is the space which Krishna is giving to us, which we have to accept. We don't have to ask from somebody, give me my space. Krishna has already given space to you. Use it with your individual discretion, with your integrity, and with the inspiration and the intuition that will come along with it. And in such a way, spiritual life is never static, and never there is doubt in spiritual life. That doubt is immediately resolved, and that's how we find here Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of the Vedas, that all the technical and all the kind of discussions which are coming in place are simply to elevate Parikshit Maharaj to become free from any kind of doubt and faithlessness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rasa Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.